Good morning, I'm David Green. Kanye West has made a name for himself with his music, his award show antics, and recently his tweets, including fur pillows are hard to actually sleep on, and sometimes I get emotional over fonts. Well, embroidery entrepreneur Amy Sheridan has decided that Twitter doesn't give these pearls of wisdom their due. For $45, she'll hand-stitch the Kanye tweet of your choice in a simple frame. Just picture, working on being a doper person above the mantle. It's Morning Edition.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Network TV is not known for original, cutting-edge storytelling, but this summer it is taking derivative to a new low. A striking number of reality shows are blatantly ripping off other reality shows. The result, says commentator Andrew Wallenstein, is that new has become a relative term and old is getting old.
Have you seen the new ABC series Duets? Amateur singers competing for a recording contract get paired off with established pros like Kelly Clarkson. Duets feels like a genetic experiment gone awry, a hapless hybrid of American Idol and Dancing with the Stars.
Give it up for John Legend and Johnny Gray.
Girl, I'm in love with you, but this ain't the honeymoon.
Duets isn't doing too well in the ratings, and no wonder. Both Idol and Dancing really declined this past season. And that's bad news for more than just Duets. Later this summer, the CW plans to launch The Star Next Door, yet another singing competition with celebrities. Now, it's not like Idol and Dancing suddenly started showing their age, so why are other rival networks even bothering to rip these shows off? That's because NBC scored its biggest hit in ages with a knockoff, The Voice.
Tonight, the battles continue as our four superstar coaches pair their own artists against each other.
The outcome is going to provide me with an incredibly strong team.
Here we go.
When The Voice launched last season, it was easy to dismiss it as just another Idol wannabe. It's hard to tell the difference between the two, except for the celebrities' red spinning chairs. But the success of The Voice has given permission to everyone else to try to put a fresh spin on an old concept. No wonder the networks are now trying to imitate their way to another reality hit. One along the lines of those tired dating shows like ABC's The Bachelorette.
I know I could fall head over heels with one of the guys I have here.
And what's really important is having somebody in your life.
The broadcasters are going to launch four different dating shows this summer, three next week alone. One of them even lifts those spinning chairs from The Voice for a dating show called, what else, The Choice. Were it not for The Voice, the networks wouldn't be so keen to copycat this summer. Let's hope a few failures break their bad habit.
Andrew Wallenstein is TV editor of Variety.
Some Spanish-language TV networks are adding bilingual programs, new reality shows, kids programming, and dramas in both Spanish and English. That's in response to the growth of the Latino population, less by immigration than through babies born in the U.S. But as NPR's Mandalit Del Barco reports, it's not clear if people who speak both languages want to watch bilingual TV.
The new bilingual series, Mia Mundo, centers on the world, the mundo of Mia Ramirez. She's a glamorous online entertainment magazine editor.
Hey, Mia. You're not late, pero Tina llegó hace como 15 minutos.
And Steph? She's clearly one step ahead of me.
Girl, you all set? Gracias, amiga.
This is a woman who's single, bilingual, completely bicultural, very tech-savvy, not really in a hurry to get married, has a great career.
Producer Mimi Belt says Mia Mundo is vying for new audiences. Telemundo.com is showing 3-minute-long webisodes, and the bilingual cable network Mundos airs weekly TV episodes. The cast borrows English-speaking actresses from another NBC Universal property, Bravo, reality stars from Interior Therapy and The Real Housewives of Orange County.
We decided to subtitle it for both the English-dominant and Spanish-dominant viewers to be able to see it. We were trying to cover all our bases there.
It's Mundos' latest experiment with bilingual programs. Last year, the network premiered RPM Miami, a drama about the underground nighttime racing scene. And running now is the second season of a reality show chronicling the frenetic family and professional life of singer Jenny Rivera.
We all love Jenny. Oh, Jenny. I love Jenny.
I Love Jenny now has a spin-off show with Rivera's daughter, Chiquis. Living in L.A., the Rivettas move easily in and out of Spanish and English, but Telemundo producer Belt says don't call it Spanglish.
We really cringe at that word because Spanglish is neither, in my view, English or Spanish. It is a distortion of both languages.
Belt says what does not work in bilingual TV is having the characters say each line in both languages. That gets tedious.
If you're watching it and you understand both languages and you're getting direct translations of what the other character said in another language, you're going to lose people.
This is something Belt says she learned while working on one of the first bilingual TV series, ¿Qué pasa USA?, a 1970s PBS sitcom about a Cuban-American family.
¡Qué graciosa! Hey, don't look now, but someone's watching us.
Ay, ¿quién nos está mirando? Es mono.
It's Bobby. Your father.
Las estoy vigilando.
For years, public television was the only place to find bilingual TV. Spanish language networks insisted on remaining monolingual, and mainstream English language networks also resisted the idea of going bilingual, except for Dora. Nickelodeon's Dora the Explorer was a hit, and now the producers of a new series for Comcast hope for the same kind of success with an even younger crowd.
It has to be entertaining. I mean, we're dealing with children that are 0 to 4.
Mario Solis Marich is talking about his new channel, Baby First Americas. He says there's a boom in Latino babies born in the U.S. It's his chance to try hooking infants and toddlers into watching TV.
This is a blue ocean strategy. We have no competition. What we're doing right now absolutely exists nowhere.
It's too soon to know the ratings for the baby network, but youngish Latinos are not necessarily clamoring for bilingual TV.
Right now, there's just so many options of content that I can go after. I can go after English. I can go after Spanish. I can go after bilingual.
28-year-old Lance Rios runs the website Being Latino. As a second-generation New York Puerto Rican, he can be choosy about his TV shows. He says he's more inclined to watch Mad Men in English than any telenovela in Spanish.
You know, Spanish language television is not something that we watch at all. It was something for old people. You get the really extreme dramatic reaction to every little situation, and it's just like it's really hammed up. I don't watch it just because I am so used to just that certain level of quality when it comes to television programming overall.
As for the new bilingual shows, Rio says he may give them a shot, but to keep his attention, they'll have to be better than anything else in English or Spanish on TV, cable, Netflix, Hulu, YouTube, and on and on and on. Mandalit del Barco, NPR News.
Our program is directed by Monica Evstatieva, edited by Corey Turner and Allison McAdam, and produced by Matt Martinez. The technical director is Stu Rushfield. We had engineering support from Daniel Shukin.
Our planning editors are Jerry Holmes and Julia Buckley. The staff includes Graham Smith, Franklin Cater, Jordana Gustafson, Gabe O'Connor, Carol Klinger, Viet Le, Jennifer Longmire-Wright, and Rhonda Ray.
Our web producer is Siri Grassley. Our executive producer is Christopher Turpin. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Alyssa Block. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
Fifty years ago this month, two comic book artists, Stan Lee and Jack Kirby, introduced The Incredible Hulk to the world. For those who are not up on their superheroes, the Hulk is the volatile alter ego of Dr. Bruce Banner, a physicist who was inadvertently exposed to radiation. As a result, whenever Dr. Banner gets angry or upset, he transforms into a giant, raging green monster capable of stunning feats of strength. In the late 1970s, the Hulk got his own television show on CBS, although he was known as David Banner, not Bruce.
Dr. David Banner, physician, scientist, searching for a way to tap into the hidden strengths that all humans have. Then an accidental overdose of gamma radiation alters his body chemistry.
That television series ended in 1982, but the Hulk starred in several made-for-TV movies and in an animated cartoon. He also appeared on the silver screen, most recently in this year's blockbuster hit, The Avengers.
I have an army.
We have a Hulk.
50 years old and still going strong. you better wish him a happy birthday. Otherwise, he might get angry.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Well put, Dr. Banner. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm David Greene.
And I'm Renee Montagne.